Well, Graham, we haven't got anyone coming in asking questions. If there is anyone to ask a question, you've got to answer, ask pretty well now. Is there anyone there?
Well, on that basis, Michael Babbage here. Hugo, how are
you? Michael, far away.
Graham, how are you?
Good, Michael.
Celia and I actually watched your DVD last night, and there's a couple of things. I noticed you had David Davidson in the group there, and he was mentioning, well, we're looking at spraying out vermicast tea, etc., and there was a mention in the DVD about spraying out, fertilizers or foliar fertilizers or vermicast things. Is that part of your holistic management?
What I say to people though is I think you need to have the skills that you can do it without the spray. So I know it's possible to regenerate your pastures and your soil just using livestock alone. So somewhere on the farm you need to be doing that and learning that, because that's the cheapest and it's the most long term and it's the lowest work and it's profitable to regenerate the land. So you've got that going, but then over the rest of the land I say, well, yeah, you've got to stay in business. So we might, might take a while to develop those skills. So anything, I say, that promotes that biological decay is a good thing. So have you got carbon and litter in excess in the system that is then breaking down and being promoted by, the vermicast or the fungal tea or any of those things? Overwhelmingly what I see when I go around is that we're lacking fungi in the soil and or the whole suite of all the fungal biomass. So the from the mycorrhizal to the decomposing fungi. So what can you do to promote that? We've usually got enough bacteria. It mightn't be the right types and it mightn't be functioning as well, but as you put the carbon back in and get the fungi going, all those things sort of stabilise and sort themselves out. So I see that as a really positive step, but it's an intermediate step in my mind. It's a transition step going from one system to another system, going from that bare ground to the 100% ground cover with the composting litter. Was that okay, Michael? Did that sort of explain?
The other question I had is we have, as far as grasses go, the ones, I suppose, because we're on a mixed farm, we have cropping, a few cows and sheep, and we're in limestone country on York Peninsula in South Australia. I don't know if you're very familiar with York Peninsula, but we're on the southern part where there's plenty of limestone. And so it's fairly shallow. But one of the grassy problems that we have, well, it is a problem because it's good early feed, is barley grass. It's a good early feed when it comes, but then you've got those little seed heads which get everywhere, like they're in lamb's wool, sheep's wool. And once it goes to head, it's not really much value. So we have in the past sprayed, but we're trying to, because we've come into this biological type system, we're trying to cut our sprays down to an absolute minimum. And I'm sort of, in the process now of perhaps just topping them with a slasher. Is that part of the...
See, it's difficult with sheep, but the spraying it, it's almost like creating the conditions that then it likes and then it comes back and it's like a perpetual motion machine. So what I say is at least in one small area, let it run out to head, then trample it down. I can't remember if the photo was on the DVD, but we used silver grass to get the ground cover that then allowed the perennial grasses to come through. So it's trying to get that moderating soil surface that will favour those perennial grasses. So there's a lot of barley grass all through this area. And if you keep managing it, it's a real clear sign that you're overusing the perennial grasses. I've been saying, if I had to grow barley grass, what would I do? So sort of trying to get people's brains to flip. So
I would make sure that I had weak root systems on the perennials, that I had bare ground, that I had, you know, so, and it's sort of like, you know, like, well, yeah, it's a bit like, yeah, well, don't do that. So what are the opposite things, and how do we create those conditions? Because the barley grass isn't a great competitor against perennial grasses or ground cover.
It is.
It won't. Perennial grassland will outcompete the barley grass and won't allow it to come back in.
Right.
So, so it's creating that, not worrying about killing the other thing. So what are all the steps to doing that?
And basically you're saying that we really need to keep our ground covered to get that that carbon back in. And I mean, ideally, what has happened, especially in the last 3 or 4 years here, because of the droughts, we've had dust flying, etc., and it's been a real concern of mine, and I think every farmer, that we have to start rethinking to keep our soil in place and rebuild it. And that's one of the reasons with the biological farm, but also that we're really interested in the worm side of things, is to try and to get that breakdown of the vegetable matter sort of happening a little bit more quickly and hopefully regenerating sort of the natural type things. But the other thing too in the back of our mind is that to reduce our stock numbers in the short way.
Saying to people that the only people that are profitable are understocked, and then eventually they come and they go, oh, they're not understocked, are they? They're matching their stocking rate to their carrying capacity.
But
the focus really has to be on growing plants that will cover the soil surface.
Graham and Michael, we're running out of time, so we'll have to call this quits, otherwise we have to go on to a second CD and becomes, you know, farms have to handle two CDs and a tractor instead of one. So I'd like to really thank all the farmers who are online, and like to thank all the farmers who sent in messages, and thank the farmers who are going to be listening to the CD in their utes or tractors or wherever, or in the lounge room. And Graham, in particular, I want to thank you for, I know you're an exceptionally busy man, and thank you for coming online and talking to our farmers, because I think this sort of information is invaluable, because you, as you keep saying, where a farmer is going to be in 10 or 20 years' time, they've got to change. They've got to change now. So, Graham, would you like to finish off and say the last few words?
Oh, well, I haven't got much more to add, Hugo. It's just that I just would like to sort of wish everyone well, but also hope that they start sort of exploring some of these ideas so that their farming becomes more regenerative as well as more enjoyable and more profitable. So that was basically all I had. Thanks, Hugo.
And Graham, I think what I'd like to say too is that you work with some pretty large farmers, as you say, from hobby farmers through to large farmers. So this is pretty serious stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's pretty urgent, you know, like that we actually start turning agriculture around. I think that agriculture is the sort of, provides the life support system for all people. So we need to make sure that we actually get it going and regenerating the land so that we can all be the more successful.
No, it's a great departure line. Graham, I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye from Farming Secrets. And Graham?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Hugo. Bye.